Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. The website, communityeducationnetwork.com, the podcast, Conscious Corner, and this show are platforms to aid the effort of self and collective improvement. I am your host, Rasaki Mascani. Tonight's guest is Catalina Nicole, and the topic is Mining Your Business. Ms. Catalina is a former colleague of mine and Mr. Hendricks. We taught together about 5 years, and she is literally a go-getter. She always spoke about having her own businesses that's more than one, and wealth. So she's about getting that money. Good evening, Ms. Catalina. How are you? Please tell us more about yourself and begin your presentation, please.
So good evening. Thank you for having me first and foremost, and good evening to everyone that is on the platform with me this evening. I'm really excited to be here. I have viewers on my live from my business page on Instagram. And so I might look over from time to time just to check in with them. But thank you for having me on the Community Education Network. I was ranting and raving today with my colleagues over at the, you know, larger school districts at the district's office and told them about this evening. So hopefully they'll catch the replay of this. So I'm joining you guys tonight because I'm currently in the process of finishing a book called Mining Your Business. Of course, I'm an educator at heart. I love educating. However, I also have always been an entrepreneur. That's something that's been instilled in me since a very young age because my lineage, you know, is full of entrepreneurs. My grandparents owned many businesses, a lot of property in the core of the Watts community. My grandmother owned a hair salon, and my grandfather owned the neighboring hamburger stand. So they were very well known in the community. And that's kind of how I grew up, you know, on my mom's side. On my dad's side, full of musicians, again, go-getters and entrepreneurs. But I'm here today to really talk about minding your business, just business in the Black community, women in business, why it's important. I serve my business, Her Winning Circle, as a brand strategist and business accountability coach. So I've worked with hundreds of women, not that many men, because I really brand my business towards helping women. However, I do get a lot of men that trickle in that come for grand information on how to get their businesses set up straight, how to, you know, create business credit or just, you know, make it in different forms and fashions and industries, because I have a wealth of knowledge being that I'm an educator and I understand how to put systems in place. So as a brand strategist, what I like to do is really, you know, people can easily start a business. You can start a business. However, that's only half of the journey. And that's not even really half of the journey. A lot of times what you need to do is you need to understand not how to start a business, but how to make your business boom. And that's what I do as a brand strategist. I teach people literally how to keep clients and customers coming back to your business for more. So anybody can go get a business license. Anyone can go down to the city and say, okay, you know, I want to get a DBA. Anyone can get an LLC, but it's not about having the LLC or having the business or anything like that. It's about what you do after that. It's about the connections you make. It's about the community. It's about, that's what it's about. So I teach branding. I teach, you know, how to identify who your target audience is so that you may be successful. I teach, you know, just the psychoanalytics of being able to have a successful business. In addition to that, I am a business accountability coach. So when I have clients that come to work with me, they can have a business that's soaring. I'm pretty sure I'm able to find something in it that can make it better. Or they can be on the starting realm of their business. And with that being the case, and those are just audio files, so you can go listen to those later on. But you know, just those that are at the start of their business, they need those business foundations. And a lot of times we in the Black community, unfortunately, don't always have the guidance. We just say, okay, I want to open up a boutique. Okay, I want to, you know, like I want to become an artist, or, you know, I want to be a painter, or I want to open up a hair salon. But it's like, okay, but I want to get you from the starting point to being able to make millions within your business. And what that takes is that takes Atomic Habits, which is a book that I'm actually reading right now. And in addition to that, it takes having amazing systems in place. It's not about the goal, it's about the systems. So that's just a little background, well, a lot of background about what I do over at Her Winning Circle.
Okay. You want to tell us more about anything else pertaining, like the like what you have people watching you right now? You want to tell us about that? Who's watching you?
Okay, well, yeah, no. Of course, like I have my platform, and the platform that I go through is I'm very, you know, adept to social media. I use social media as a means to reach my target audience. So I have my following on Instagram, and I use Instagram. I use Facebook. I use a lot of email marketing. Again, it's not about really like, you know, like just having the business. You have to know how to find your target audience, and you need to know where to find those people. So the individuals that typically watch me, like I said, are people that are at the ground level and are trying to enhance their business. So hey to everyone that's on my live, go ahead and share this live out. And I use a lot of text message marketing as well. Again, a lot of times I feel like you can get on social media and there are people who feel like, oh, you got to have a lot of numbers. But let's just say if you have 100 people that come to you as a repeat client, like you find something that is of use, right? That a person will need to come back to you for over and over again, right? So you find those 100 people. And let's just say you find those 100 people, and I like to, I love doing numbers. So let's just say you find those 100 people, and let's just say you start a membership of some sort. And it can be a membership where you're teaching them something. It can be a membership where they're replenishing a product maybe that they're going to need monthly, right? So like a lot of people do like vitamins. A lot of people have actual like services. And I love to use like the hair industry, because typically people are going to get their hair cut or get their hair done like within every 30 days. So now you have 100 clients, you have 100 people that you gather together in your community, you nurture them, you build a relationship with them. And let's just say each month they're coming to you and they're paying, let's just say at minimum $147 for your membership, for your products, or whatever it is, because you have nurtured them into feeling like they're a part of your community and also needing this product, right? So with that being done, what happens is, on average, if you just have 100 people, if you can cultivate a community of 100 people, which is like a really easy thing to do, and you can get those people to say, okay, I need this from you. I need this product. I need this service. I need it consistently. Well, now you're making $14,700 a month. During the pandemic, at the start of the pandemic, I put a product together, and I put a price tag on this product. It was my brand strategy, like course. That course came with a workbook. It came with pre-recorded videos. I had about 8 videos at the time. Actually, I had 4 at the time, and I went back and added 4 more videos to that. That's my Boss Brand Profile Workbook. And if you're on Instagram, you can click the link in my bio and you can get that. I put a price on that product. And during the pandemic, what I found out was through social media, there is the platform Clubhouse. Clubhouse came out during the pandemic. And I came up with this product. I priced this product at $27. I got on there and I began to build community and share my knowledge with everyone that was on there. So I was giving them a little bit like, okay, I'm gonna teach you about this. I'm gonna teach you about that. I'm gonna give you strategies. I'm gonna give you tips and all of these different things, right? And one day I said, you know what? I'm gonna go on there and I'm gonna give them some content. So I went on and I gave everyone, and I think I had about, I may have had like 200 and something odd people in the room. So I was a speaker. I had a couple of people supporting me and I had a link in my bio. And when I put that link in my bio that linked to my product, out of those 200 and something odd people, and I mean, I was on Clubhouse for no more than an hour, but what I gave them was I gave them a strategy on how to build out their content for an entire month for their businesses. And I also gave them specific ideas and details on what they could talk about in their social media posts. So I just gave them that information. Free information is planning for me. So I already had it. I just got on and told them what I was doing. And then I said, okay, now if you want to know more about branding, go ahead and click the link in my bio and get this workbook. So I had a little bit over, and this was in an hour. I think I had a little bit over like over 120 something odd people who bought that product. And that was like my first product that I launched during the pandemic. And that was just like just sitting at home. I was bored. I was like, okay, let me do this. Let me see how this is going to work out. And I already have the product. In less than an hour, I made over $3,000. And I never left my living room. I never left my living room. And that's what really like, that's what having a business is about. You have to know the right moves to make, when to make them. You got to have something that people need, something that you can give them that they feel like they can't, you know, do themselves or provide themselves. And that's why, you know, everyone in this room, for the most part, has a background in education, to my knowledge. We as educators, I always tell educators, like, you have something of value that a lot of times you don't even take advantage of. You have something of value, don't take advantage of. Everything that we have up here, if we put it on paper, right? Because, you know, I was an English teacher. So if we put it on paper and then we put a price on it, we can sell that because that's knowledge. That's knowledge that someone needs. And we do it every single day. We do it for free. So, you know, that was my experience. And that's what I did with my business. And it made me so excited. And then it was just like, I was like, okay, now I'm on a roll. Now I have cultivated a community of people. They bought this product. Not only did they buy the product, they were pushed into my email list. So now I have over 4,000 and something odd people into my email list. If I record this and I'm giving tips, right? I'm giving tips through this. I can record this. I can package it up with some type of strategy sheet, some type of workbook. I can put a price tag on it and I can sell this as a replay. So a lot of times that's what I do. Like I'll do my lives. I'll get on my live. I will teach people. Don't catch the live typically, but people love the information that I'm able to provide them as it pertains to their business. So I teach business credit. I teach wholesale real estate. I do everything because the business is called Her Winning Circle. So I'm like a serial entrepreneur. I do a little bit of everything. I do editing. I do music engineering. I take pictures. Like I just, you know, I love life that much that it's just like whatever direction the wind blows in, that's which direction I'm going to go to. But I'm always going to come back to teaching because as I'm outside doing these various things, I'm learning things. Tax season just passed. My mom has a tax company. I often support her. She has her small pocket of clients. She's retired now. Tax season, she made $35,000. I'm like, okay, cool. Then I was like, well, come on the platform, mom, and we're going to give them some strategies and some tips. You're going to get some more clients. And then we put a workbook together, a tax workbook, and she was able to make another like over $10,000 off of something she put together in terms of a workbook, just guiding people through how to go back and check if their taxes are good, what they should look for, what things that they, you know, what can you write off if you work from home? And this is knowledge that people need. But a lot of times they're not going to just go on a platform or go on the internet, or they're not going to go get that book and read that to try to acquire that information. We live in a society where everything is instant. Like people like instant gratification, it's instant. So they want it at their fingertips. So I take knowledge, I sum it up for you, and I give it to you in a way that you can take it in, you know, faster. So Yeah, that's those are my people over on Instagram.
You know what? When I first started doing the podcast, right before that, you and I had a conversation. And it's one thing that we talked about when it came to relationship. And you made an excellent point about the representative. I just want you to touch on that a little bit because it was excellent, and I think people really need to hear this,
Hey,
even
I don't
though
even remember.
you remember talking about the representative when you meet somebody and enter into a relationship, when you're first courting somebody, and you say you show up with your representative.
Oh, yeah, you definitely showed your.
So can you speak on that a little bit before we go to the
I
palette?
don't remember exactly what the conversation was, but I mean, let's just, if we're being honest, so that's just like, for example, I teach people how to build their personal brands, right? And even I say relationships are like you build a personal brand and you show up, as this brand, and you're trying to get someone to really just like be attached to who you are, when it comes to branding a business, like what you sell, right? So you show up as what you believe they need. That right? Is that what we were? It was kind of in that realm, right?
It's like you have a representative, and then after that, once you into the relationship, is that representative kind of leaves. But
Well,
yeah.
once you get seasoned in this whole, relationship thing, and I always tell people, I say, hey, like, are you dating somebody? Yeah, I'm always dating my business. Right, I'm dating my business always, right? Dating my career. But yeah, over time, if you're not dedicated to how you show up, that representative can leave. But what it takes is it takes consistency and dedication in how you showed up. You hear that phrase where people say, how you start is how you need to finish. And I believe that to be 100% true. How you start is how you need to finish. If you're going to start strong, you need to start strong. If you're going to start, and you're going to be consistent, you need to be consistent all the way through. So, I think that's, just cognizant of that whole idea of like, how you show up, like I said, when it comes to like branding. Oftentimes people start a business and they show up and they're excited about it in the beginning, but they fall off from that excitement because really they're not excited about it. It's just something somebody might have told them, hey, you do a really great job at this. And they're like, oh, people tell me I do a really great job at this. And it's just like, no, I need you to get to know yourself so you really truly know what it is that you like and you need, right? Or what you like doing. And what you enjoy doing, and then you need to maximize off of that, and you need to be consistent with that, and you need to follow through with that.
Okay. Well, I wish we had that recording because it was an excellent conversation. Matter of fact, I have it and I thought it was on the website, but I didn't see it. So I'm gonna have to go back and look again. But that was an excellent conversation we had. It was about a year and a half ago.
Oh
Excellent
yeah.
conversation.
Look, a lot has happened in a year and a half. Look,
Okay,
I don't remember exactly.
so what we're gonna do, we're gonna go to the panel. I'm gonna start off with Professor Ra because he may have to leave soon. Professor Ra, questions, comments?
Yeah, first of all, appreciate what you said. If I understand it correctly, I very, very impressed with you developing this business of helping people start businesses and helping them be successful and encouraging them in the personal dynamics that goes with start a business, the motivation, the commitment, not being afraid to fail, to get up and do it again, all those dynamics. When you still they say that most small businesses fail, and that you should have the resources to last at least 3 to 5 years before there's a profit, just on product and just on services. You know, so longevity has a lot. How does that fit into your presentation? Or is that correct? Or
I'm gonna be honest, like, I believe that we can believe anything to be true, right? So if there is a statement that goes out such as that, most businesses, you know, don't turn a profit for 3 years. Most small businesses fail. You're already setting yourself back by believing in this limited way of thinking, right? And I think that kind of does resonate, especially in like the Black community with small businesses. I hear a lot of people say, well, if I don't turn a profit, that's okay. Because they say, well, for me, I'd be like, well, who is they? Who is they? Because yes, that can be true if you believe it to be true. But if you get out and you are grinding consistently within your business, because this is the thing, it's so much money out there in my membership. Every single third Wednesday, I go into my membership and I give out a list of grants. We get on for like 2 hours and I just have the ladies who are in my membership and we filling out grants. It's free money. So my thing is like, okay, yeah, your business might not turn a profit, but if you have your business in order and you have your business set up and you filling out these grants, your business is turning a profit. You're receiving free money because you have your business in place. But I believe that we're going to believe whatever we speak is going to be what comes to fruition in terms of our businesses and how we just evolve in that realm. So I don't really believe that to be true. When I opened up my first business, I had a fitness studio. I want to say in 3 months, I had clients coming from everywhere. I had clients coming from Palos Verdes. And I mean, I was just a little small dance studio in Gardena. And I just was like, whoa, this is like happening really fast for me. And I got on like Groupon and they had like all these different platforms. And like in the first 3 months, I had made well over like $20,000 in my business. And I was just like, wow, I started my business with $10,000 and I made these profits. But I didn't have that limited mindset. I think it's a mind state. It's a mindset as well. And if you believe that, yeah, you'll fail or you may not turn a profit. Now that might just be because you don't have your systems in place. So that's what I believe. I say, hey, go. Get the right people in place. Get the right people who are going to support you and be consistent, and you'll do what you're supposed to do.
So you, what you do is you package information and guidance and refer them to resources and help them with regards to pursuing those grants and pursuing those revenues that support small businesses and help them survive those rough beginning years.
Absolutely.
Because you have, you know, see, it depends on the business you're in. Like, you know, like you said, you started a dance and fitness. So you were the resources. I mean, you were the product teaching them that. But, you know, some people who want to open up a store or open up a restaurant, it's a different from a single individual product. Like if I want to teach karate, you know, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
You open up a school and you pay, you teach it, you do it all, you know. But when you open it up, businesses that you want to blossom, eventually have employees, what strategy do you think would help people? I'm for the number one product is to me is sugar and salt. You sell them salt, they need something to drink, something sweet, eat food and all that.
Yep, but absolutely.
That's a challenge. You said your grandparents had a hamburger stand in Watts. Where was it at?
On Compton Avenue, right across the street from what is now 111th Street School, but it was called Floyd Noy Elementary back then. When my grandparents had their business open. And we still own the hair salon. It's just not open. It's still there. We'll probably never sell it. but this is the thing. So I had employees, and I feel like you got to have systems in place. So I always talk about systems. Systems are the most important thing in your business. Now, on the marketing side and selling side, right? If you say, okay, sugar and salt is the most, these are the two most important products, right? So when we think about what's that, is it Morton's, the Morton salt, the little girl with the umbrella, right?
Yeah.
For me, it's branding. When we have a physical product, branding is the most important thing, because when you know branding, so when you know who your target audience is, so let's just say you know who your target audience is, you're going to sell salt. With selling salt, you don't want to just sell salt, because there's salt everywhere, right? There's different companies that sell salt. So what's going to make your salt stand out from the other salt? It's going to be the branding. It's going to be your branding. It's going to be the presentation. So I have girls who come to me and they say, oh, I want to start a candle company. And I'll say, okay, is this person doing candles? This person doing candles? What are you going to do differently? And I say, don't just sell the candle, sell an experience, right? Mountain Dew, for example. Mountain Dew, we know Mountain Dew for the soda. I know Mountain Dew for the sports. I know Mountain Dew for recycling plastic and providing clothes to different countries, right? Based upon that recycled plastic. I know Mountain Dew for a lot of different, I know Mountain Dew for music, right? It's about selling an experience. So if I take a candle and I'm like, okay, this person right here is just selling the candle, they're going to put up a candle website. Now, if that person has a huge following, they may do amazing because they're already a personal brand. People are already buying into them because they are a personal brand. But if I have somebody else who comes and they're like, I want to sell a candle, I'm going to say, listen, you got to sell experience. Your commercials got to be on point. Your presentation has to be on point. And not only do you want to sell the candle, what is the experience that that person is going to get with the candle? So when that girl sells that candle to that other girl, does that candle smell like that man that she want to be with, his cologne? Can you put a playlist together with that, a link to a playlist? Send her some rose petals so she could light her candle and sit in the bathtub listening to that music. Relaxing, smelling that candle, it smell like, that's an experience. So if you can figure out how to have a physical product and couple it, you know, an experience around it, you'll be successful with that product. A lot of people, it's not what you sell, it's really how you sell it. A lot of people don't just buy my products because they buy my products. The people who are a part of my community now, they like me. I could put something out tomorrow and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get repeat sales from people because I am now, when they come on my live, hey, Sister Kat, oh, I'm glad I didn't miss the live. You look pretty today. Oh my God, you always on point. You encourage me, you this, you that. They gonna buy because they trust me. They trust my character. They trust who I am. So I've given them a certain type of experience, one, to believe in themselves and to believe in their businesses. And now they're a part of my community. Given experience, put that with a product, bring these people into your community, and you'll see what you're supposed to see.
Okay. All right, Rasha Key.
All right. Brother Mashenda. Brother Mashenda, he didn't. Okay. We'll come back to Brother Mashenda. Brother Hendrick. They both of them could be doing something at the moment.
Okay. Now, what role does business plans and, you know, let's say, you know, there are people that dream about starting businesses, you know, but they don't know, you know, they know. So do you put any emphasis on developing plans, business plans?
Yeah.
Budgeting and all of that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, most people, businesses fail because they use the revenues for their personal life rather than putting it back into the business. So how do you deal with that?
Just you, when it comes to business, when you starting a business, you got to keep that separate. That's why, like, when people come to me and they start working with me, the first thing that, like, we'll do is we can set up their business, but the next step is, like, you got to have a business bank account. And you cannot mess with that. However, you know, some people do need to feel like they are paying themselves. So what I say is, like, okay, you pay yourself 20%. That's it. Give yourself a percentage, and it cannot be a high percentage. It's going to be max 20% if you need to pay yourself. But you cannot live off of that same money, or you'll never see it, because, like you said, you got to put that money back into your business. Now, when it comes to business planning, right, like having a business plan, I believe, you know, like, I'm looking at the books that are behind you. I believe that everything that we need to know should be written. Everything that we need to know is probably written down somewhere, right? So that takes me all into the whole literacy thing, right? So it's just like, without books and without, like, the historical documentation of experiences, right? We kind of lose things. So if I can go and I can find someone who does the same business as me, and that person has a book, and I can read that book and almost track what they do, and I can mirror that and be successful as they were, I benefited because they wrote their plan down in a book. They wrote their personal, like, I guess their personal, what's the word I'm looking for? Their personal story/business plan in a book. I believe that everything needs to be written down. I have journals. I have journals. This is a moneymaker. You see this spine on this book? This one is full of ideas. I have journals. They're all over the place. I have books. Look, I have Uncloned Marketing, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Let's see. Power Branding. The Art of making it. I read, and not only do I read, as I read, I write. I write these ideas down. You have to have a business plan. Because one, a lot of times what I also see is a lot of people, they'll get on with me. We'll be doing our virtual coaching calls. And they'll be like, I want to do this. 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 And I'm just like, listen, you got to focus on one thing. And you got to flush that one thing all the way out. You need to map it out. You need to write it down. Not only do you need to write it down, you need to set some goals. Then you need to flush those goals out. And you need to create an action plan. Not only do you need to then flush that action plan out, you need to attach some people to those action steps. Because if you're doing it all yourself, you're probably spending too much time doing it, and you're not moving at a steady pace, because you're thinking that you can do it all. You got to put systems in place. You got to put people in place. So a business plan is just, it's so essential, because it's like a map. It's a map. And if you're, I would say, dedicated to your business, you'll follow that, because that's really your plan for success. Unfortunately, a lot of Black businesses do not put together business plans. And not only do you put together one business plan, you continuously review your business plan. You should be reviewing your business plan like every single quarter. every quarter, every 3 to 4 months, you should be reviewing your business plan and seeing if you're on target, seeing if it's things that you need to change. But, you know, like I said, unfortunately, we don't like to write a lot of times. And I just say we, you know, I just have a lot of clients. I get a lot of young girls who I'm just like, okay, I want to know who you are first. What book have you read? What are you reading right now? My first thing is like, in my membership, go read this book or go listen to this audiobook. That's the first step. And I need you to journal because I need to know that one, also two, you able to comprehend. You need to be able to write a business plan and you need to be able to comprehend the necessary steps to be successful.
And implement. But I got another question. There's a movement, crypto money. How do you see that as far as people wanting to be investors and people want to deal with high risk revenue generation, luck and hope? How do you see the role of crypto money in the future?
So it's so funny. I just had this conversation. So we got like cryptocurrency, the metaverse, like all this like fictitious stuff, right? That really doesn't exist. People just create this source of stuff right out of nowhere. But we live in a society that is so fictitious right now, where it's just like you get on social media, you see a picture. The person you see a picture of, that person got a filter on. And then when you see them in person, they look completely different. So people are so tied in to the falsehood, a false reality, that things that are false are just doing successful right now. People are buying fake land that doesn't even exist in the metaverse. And they're making millions off of it. They're buying things that don't exist. So I think we're in a really weird time, but as we know, just, you know, history says we follow trends. People follow trends. People follow, like, you understand, like we're a herd type of community or group of, we're herd. We're herds, right? So people are going to go with the masses. So if you go with the masses, but while you go with the masses, you thinking from various perspectives and you stand like kind of 10 steps ahead of the masses while also being a part of it, that's how you win. So the people who are winning in these spaces are people who like really dive deep, understand it, and they figure out how to maximize it and benefit from it before it crashes. Like when that Dogecoin thing came out, everybody's like, Dogecoin. I was like, oh yeah, let me get me some of this because this gonna blow up eventually. GameStop. Oh, GameStop, get the stock. Yeah, let me do. But what I'm not gonna do is I'm gonna be smart. I'm not gonna hold it too long because what goes up must come down. It has the possibility of going up again. So you gotta get it while it's like when it's hot, and you have to be aware of when it's hot. And then you often and always have to be willing to be a student.
Okay, question. Understand. So you're from what I'm getting, crypto is sort of like stocks. That's what you're saying?
Well, stocks is different though, because stocks is actually something that is something that exists. It you know, like crypto, it's like stocks, but I don't see it to be the same because I can buy stock in like Apple exists. I can go into Apple store. Like my son, he likes that Roblox game that all the kids are playing. He's like, Mom, I need Robux to buy stuff in the game. And it's like a metaverse, right? And I'm like, this doesn't even really exist. It's a game like this. It doesn't exist, but you want to spend money on it. So I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to do that, but we're going to buy stock because as much as you play this game, we need to have stock in it. Every single month, I'm buying stock for him in that game. And now he's turning over a profit. Like it's crazy. So it's, I don't know. We just are, we're in a weird time. That's what I'll say. But it is like stock. Yeah, cryptocurrency is like stock. I have people, you know, call me, hey, buy this. And I'll be like, okay, I'll buy it. And then I could cash it out and I'll turn a profit. I've done it.
How many of your followers are out of state and how many are local?
Majority of, it's so interesting, majority of my followers and my clients are out of state. I have clients in like Jamaica, Africa, like I have clients all over the world. And unfortunately, and that's just so interesting. And I think it's just the culture here. A lot of my clients are not here in LA. They're not here in California. I have, and it's so interesting too, because, and like I said, it might be the culture. I have a lot of clients that are like in like New Jersey. I get people from the South, like Texas, Houston, Dallas. So it could be a cultural thing. I think here in LA, especially like my target audience, the group of people that I serve, the clients that are here, my clients that are here in California are typically anywhere between the age of like, I would say like maybe like 43 and 54 in LA. My younger clients are like typically from like Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, Florida. So yeah, I kind of track those trends, and that's what, you know, target, knowing your target audience is about.
Well, when you're on the social media or the web, you're speaking to a broad audience. I mean, you're marketing to millions. So that helps it. So, you know, when you have a product that you could package on the web and get your whole business profile on the web. And if somebody say, I'm interested in starting a business, then your business pop up as far as helping and things of this nature. Because mm-hmm. it's part of that world wide web. But thanks for the info. Okay.
Thank you.
Brother Hembry.
I'll come to you for some info too.
Brother Hembry, questions, comments? You on mute. You on mute.
You know, I got this dog, she laid out here asleep at the moment. Hopefully she'll stay that way. It's certainly a pleasure to see how far along you've come since I've seen you last, young lady. you know, we used to talk all the time. As far as business and social media, I'm barely emailing and texting, so I ain't with all that other stuff. It took me the longest to be able to get on this show. Anyway, as far as businesses go, you know, I don't go to barbershops to cut my own hair, but oftentimes I go get a pedicure because I do a lot of walking, so I need my feet right. And I can't hardly find any of our people doing that. Matter of fact, right around the corner from where I live, it was some agents at first, they went out of business and the sister took it over. And she didn't stay in business hardly any time. I went in there one time and whoever did my feet, they were like sitting to the side instead of in front of me, which was one thing that kind of wigged me out. But anyway, we tend not to, run things, in my opinion, efficiently and correctly. And the biggest thing is having good people in those positions, because when I questioned the sister about why was she sitting to the side, she kind of had a problem with it. And I had like a little slight ingrown toenail. It wasn't much, just a little bit. And she kept digging and digging, and I was jumping and jumping, right? So she said, you need to go to a podiatrist. And I had been going to some agents, and they get it out in 10 seconds, you know, no problem. And so, matter of fact, the sister's gone out of business. Some agents got it again now. But anyway, talking about those businesses, that and the and the beauty supply stores. Can't find any of us doing that. And my question is, especially on the beauty supply store, is it that the Koreans got a you know, got a hold on the market, you know, to get products and stuff like that? Is that it? Or is it that we just not, I know it's a brother on right there next to the fish place we go to, Family Fish in Compton. It's a brother, I believe, owns a beauty supply store there. But, you know, our people need to get trained in these areas where Black people spending a whole lot of money, giving their money to other people. You know what I'm saying? But as far as business go with me personally, the only thing real to me is real estate. So I'm sticking with that. Mm-hmm. Done all I need to do. I'm just riding it out and let the stuff keep increasing more and more. And that, you know, that makes my pocket increase more and more. But
right.
The business stuff, matter of fact, when I was in college, I had a little barbecue business that I used to run down at the Imperial West way back in the day. And I'd be in there studying my work at Loyola and selling barbecue. You know, but as far as, a lot of Black people going out of business when they start a business is because they do not put the money back into the business. They buy cars, they buy jewelry, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And then something happens in the business and they don't have the money to cover it, to get it back right, to keep rolling. So, but anyway, it's good to see what you're doing. Appreciate seeing you again. I haven't seen you in years. Must be almost 10 years almost.
Yes, been a while. It's been a
while. Are you still at the 10?
No, I am an administrator in LAUSD, so I'm at the district office.
Okay.
In LA.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. As you can, you know, it's strange how, you know, people try to hold you back, you go somewhere else, and everything just boom happens for you. You know what I'm saying? Right? Tell people, that's what I told Mr. Roscani when they were denying him, leave. And you'll be amazed at what happens for you when you go somewhere else. And
yeah.
Come back maybe if you want to. You
know, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, just appreciating you. Good to see you again. And
yeah.
I'm going to sign off and feed this hound, but I'm going to be listening as to whatever else you got to present.
All right. Good speaking with you.
You too. You stay in there and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Brother Hembrick. So, yeah, excellent information. Is there anything else you want to leave us with? And then if Professor Ra have another question, we can go with that. Is there anything else you want to leave us with?
Well, you know, just I'll say for anyone, you know, that watches this, you know, or watches this later on, Start that business, you know, go for it, whatever it is. I'm not saying, like, you know, a lot of people believe, oh, I want to start a business, so I'm going to quit my job. Well, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes your plan B helps you to get to your plan A. But just do it, you know. I hate to be cliche and say, like Nike said, just go for it. You know, whatever it is, don't wait. If you have to wait, okay, that's cool. You know, most businesses, like, you know, we think of these people that have these, Amazon is a leading business. You know, if he would have quit when he started, he wouldn't be Amazon right now. And Amazon is like a bill, like multi, it's like the top company, you know, that brings in money. And he keeps expanding. Now he's getting ready to take out the postal start, like UPS and FedEx. He's going to take them out. And it started with one person who just stayed consistent, started small, and then it grew and it got bigger. So I just say, you know, to anyone that is out there starting a business, just go for it. If you need guidance, you can, you know, come on over to herwinningcircle.com. You guys can send me an email at support at Her Winning Circle, or you can come join me over on my other platforms, Instagram, Her Winning Circle, Facebook, Her Winning Circle. You can find me. And then if that doesn't work, you know, because I'm going to make sure that you guys are really able to find me. You can send me a text message at 310-496-2539. That is my business number. And I'll respond.
That's excellent. Okay, Brother Machinda just came back. Brother Machinda, question, comments?
Oh, yeah, just a comment. Oh, just to Ms. Catalina, thank you for your presentation. Very informative, and look forward to you to speak on in the future. I think you got some very excellent ideas, and seem like you know your wisdom is way beyond your years. I don't know your age, but you know, and your energy is off the charts. You know, and I mean that so from the heart. So just let you know that you keep doing what you're doing, and you know, try to provide that financial literacy to the lowest common denominator. You know, build skills. You're gonna make money. Money will just be the first benefit of you just giving out that information. I wanted you to touch on. You said something about real estate wholesaling. Can you just kind of brief? I know I'm not giving a seminar because I know you probably make money on those seminars, but kind of give a brief on that. And thank you.
Okay, so yeah, wholesale real estate is basically like taking out the middle person. So you as a normal person, you don't have a real estate license. So you can go out and you can knock on someone's door and say, hey, you know, would you like to sell your house? Like, it looks messed up, it's distressed. You know, you might have looked it up, and they may have like two loans on the property. It's like they barely making it, it looks messed up. But you like, okay, I done did research on this house. They send you the specs on the house. You do the appraisal. The house is worth more than what they can, you know, afford to keep it. Or maybe they just want to get out of it. You know, maybe it's too much for them. So you as a regular person without a real estate, you can put that house under contract. You can put that house under contract, and you can then go find a buyer for that house. So for example, what you would do is you would say, okay, well, I'm put this house under contract, and I'm going to help you guys sell it for this much. Then you turn around and you go buy a buy, you go find a buyer. And when you go find a buyer, you offer the buyer a different price. So you basically get your wholesaling fee through doing the transaction. So that's pretty much, that's like the simplest way that I can explain wholesale real estate. You can do it. Like, I do wholesale real estate here in California. I've sold properties in, other states. There are a few states where you cannot do wholesale real estate, or you can only do like one contract, but you can do it from anywhere, and you don't need a real estate license to do it.
Very interesting. And I just want to ditto what Brother Machinda said. You, since I've known you, your energy has not changed. And it's the same. You know?
I have toys.
But it's good, though. It's excellent. So I really appreciate you, you know, you coming on here. Professor Rod, anything else? You're on mute.
Yeah, just a couple quick questions. You know, we have a lot of rappers and professional athletes. And have you ever tried to deal with, are any of them your clients? As far as starting businesses or how to handle their money?
So not in the aspects of business, but I do work with artists. It's different, you know, different groups of people have different mindsets. And different groups of people like will come to you for different things. So for example, I've done like artist development. So where I'm just working with the artists strictly on their music. I think people gravitate towards what they need, right? So I have a brother, he played overseas. I'll talk to him, you know, about, you know, business and stuff like that. He's not gonna listen though. but not really. I mean, I have, but not really, like literally, like the audience that I think that I market and my target audience mostly consists of women. Like even right now, I'm helping a young lady start a nonprofit where she's going to be mentoring younger girls who are like in high school in terms of how to start their businesses, like building their business plan and stuff like that while they're young, so that they always have that, you know, they're like they're building up towards it. So I mean, I know I could. I just think I don't think I've explored it yet.
They got Black professional athletes and Black women professional athletes, as well as those that have money. I mean, you know, big money. I mean, you know, do inheritance or just that. Now, the issue of, you know, you have a challenge, and I like the way you say you're helping a young lady develop a mindset in young girls to think business. Most of the challenges we have is we don't come up with a business mentality. You know, we come up as laborers, workers, mm-hmm. Goods and services versus just entrepreneurship. And so I applaud you on being able to help people get into that arena, because it's such a challenge. Because the public schools does not focus on entrepreneurship.
No.
And now, what about teaching them about their taxes and liability insurance and all that? Is that part of your product too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like on my platform and my membership, I do bring people in and talk about different things. So I teach, like my mom does taxes. So she has spoken to them. I have people come in and talk about real estate. I teach my clients how to purchase deeds to property. I mean, we do it all. Like for me, I'm just like, okay, it's the winning circle. You may be coming into my platform to build your business, but ultimately, like we were saying in the beginning, a lot of times what happens is people don't have that financial backing to fund a business. So it's like, okay, well, you might not have a financial backing to fund your business, but I'm gonna teach you some things that's gonna make you money. And then in turn, what may happen is you may not even really be even interested in your business. You might just turn into a person that ends up just saying, oh, I'm going to buy deeds to properties and flip these properties. I was buying a deed to try to make some money so I could build my business, but I'm really interested in this. I really like this. So a lot of times what I find is people find out what their true interests are by coming and being a part of Her Winning Circle, because I become a thought partner. I'm like, I feel like I'm a therapist a lot of the times. Because I don't think we always are thinking things all the way through when we're making rash decisions. We're just like, oh, everybody got a boutique. I want to start a boutique. You really don't want to start a boutique. It just looks good when someone else is doing it. But I might teach you how to do wholesale real estate to start that boutique. And you might in turn then say, hey, I really like wholesale real estate. I'm going to keep doing this.
Okay. Well, appreciate your presentation. Very eye-opening. And what year did you start Long Beach?
I started Long Beach in 2001.
Yeah, I talked to them.
Yeah, you were there. I'm telling you, you did. You definitely did. With Professor Mandy was there. Piper, yeah. Mandy. Mm-hmm. Yep.
She made her transition.
Oh no.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, what administrative position you have at LA Unified?
So I work for the Academic English Mastery Program. So we serve predominantly the African-American students, but we do so by the way of dealing with literacy. We serve the standard English learners. So I work with Dr. Noma Lemoine, Shiraki Holly.
You with Shiraki?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Shiraki's in LA Unified now?
Well, he's not in LA, but he's doing the work through his company in LA.
Okay, because he used to have the school class my daughters went to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, he's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely amazing. Yeah. So That
okay,
is,
excuse me. Can you hook me up with him, please?
All right. I'll see him soon. We'll see him really. I'm going to be contacting his people actually to go ahead and contract book him for an upcoming institute.
Okay, well, good.
I got a daughter that's a teacher in a high school in LA Unified.
Oh, you need to connect her with me because we're going to need some people. We're going to be doing some hiring in our department.
And then my son's a principal.
Oh.
At Pathway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is your son. Yeah. I met him at one of my friends that I went to school with when I got my master's. She works there as a teacher, and she did an event at her house, and he was there. So that's where I met him.
He's into business.
Man. I connect with him. I need to connect with him, too, because I would love to do something through Pathways for the young girls, because since I'm bringing this girl up with the nonprofit and she's going to be teaching these business tactics and different things like that, that would be a perfect thing to connect on.
All right. I'll let him know.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
Okay, it's excellent. Excellent. I appreciate everything you've done this evening.
You are
Ms. Catalina.
Welcome. You are welcome.
And next week, we got TJ Swag. It's one of my nephews. He's an aspiring musical artist. He's 18 years old, so we're going to have a youngster on, which is good.
Nice.
I'm going to interview him, so that'll be good. So you know you're welcome anytime, and you know how to get on now.
Absolutely.
We're here almost every Monday and every Wednesday.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. I'm going to have to check it out. I'm going to need you to start streaming this thing through YouTube. I'm going to have to teach you how to go ahead and connect that, because you could do Zoom and YouTube at the same time.
That's fine. Okay, yeah, I need to talk to you anyway. You had a couple of things I was interested in, so I'm going to talk to you soon about that. So, Professor Rao, who we got next week?
We got Glenn McDonald. He'll be talking about from South Central to the Boston Celtics to professional basketball. And, the challenges he went through in the Philippines, what it was like in the NBA for Black athletes, really, what Boston was really like. He won the championship for them, and then next year they cut him for a white boy.
He
was assistant coach of the Sparks.
He was our assistant coach too when I was my junior year at Long Beach State with Ron Palmer. So that's one of my coaches.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. All right, everybody, Conscious Corner, each one teach one. Have a good evening.
All right, Big Joe, I'll give you a call.